It's a great song to enter into my thoughts this morning. The battle belongs to the Lord. Last couple of programs here says where little sayings in there says where there is faith in God, there's hope. Where there's hope, there's peace. And where there's peace, there's freedom. The sad one here is life's greatest tragedy is to lose God and not miss Him. I worry about that sometimes. Maybe somebody served the Lord their whole life, and later on in years, they let their family, maybe other things, take them away from God. All of a sudden, God's maybe second priority in their life. I think that's a sad situation, and I feel like that's the saddest thing that could happen to any of us, is to serve God most of our life, our adult life, and then be stray away from Him and not realize what we're doing. I have a short story here I'd like to read to you. It says, can you sleep when the wind blows? Years ago, a farmer owned land along the Atlantic Sea coast. He continually advertised for hired hands. Most people were reluctant to work on the farms along the Atlantic. They dreaded the awful storms that raged across the Atlantic, wreaking havoc on the buildings and the crops. As the farmer interviewed applicants for the job, he received a steady stream of refusals. Finally, a short, thin man, well past middle age, approached the farmer. Are you a good farmhand? The farmer asked him. Well, I can sleep when the wind blows, answered the little man. Although puzzled by this answer, the farmer, desperate for help, hired him. The little man worked well around the farm, busy from dusk till dawn. And the farmer felt satisfied with the man's work. Then one night the wind howled loudly in from offshore. Jumping out of bed, the farmer grabbed a lantern, raced next door to the hired hand's sleeping quarters. He shook him and yelled at the little man, get up, the storm is coming. Need to tie down things before they blow away. The little man rolled over in the bed and said firmly, no, sir, I told you I can sleep when the wind blows. Enraged by this response, the farmer was tempted to fire him. Instead, he hurried outside to prepare for the storm. To his amazement, he discovered that all the haystacks had been covered with tarpaulins. The cows were in the barn, the chickens were in the coops, and the doors were all barred. The shutters were tightly secured, and everything was tied down. Nothing could blow away. The farmer then addressed what the hired man meant when he said, I can sleep when the wind blows. And he returned to his bed and was able to go to sleep also. Moral of the story. When you're prepared spiritually, mentally, and physically, you have nothing to fear. Can you sleep when the wind blows? When it moves you around through life, this hired hand in the story was able to sleep because he had secured the farm against that storm. We secure ourselves against the storms of life by grounding ourselves in the Word of God. We don't need to understand. We just need to hold His hand and have peace in the middle of the storm. Mark asked us last week if we read our Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, do we understand it? I asked you this morning, do you believe it? And this morning, my thoughts are directed in that way, such as the moral of the story, that we need to be spiritually grounded because we will have problems. Many times in the Bible it tells us, God tells us to fear not, or don't be astray, don't be afraid. Nels just mentioned that Christ didn't show us any stress, and so we shouldn't have that problem in our life. But I think we all worry a little bit. when the weatherman tells us a storm's coming, I think we worry a little bit about that. But the reason God says this so often is because he knows that fear is something that we all will struggle with from time to time. And God wants us to replace fear with faith. Faith that God cares about us. Faith that he knows what is best for us. And faith that he is helping us. I have just a short list here about some questions here about stress. First one says, do you feel you must worry about major events in your life? Does it take more than 10 minutes to fall asleep at night? Do you worry about things you can't control? If you have done all you can do about a certain situation, do you still worry about it? If something went well, do you worry about what might have happened if it wouldn't have went well? Do you always find something to worry about even when your life is okay? Does your worry ever lead you to uncomfortable physical symptoms? I'm sure that we could answer yes to some of these questions. I know I can, speaking for myself. And the last one's the one that concerns me about when it makes you physically ill and makes you have a greater concern about what's going on in your life. But we need to maintain our faith in God and that he will help us through whatever is bothering us. As most of you know, this morning I'm approaching a 70-year-old mark. And I think I'm having a little difficulty getting there. I've always told Larry I could keep up with him. He just turned 70 and I'll turn 70 next spring. But I've always told him I could keep up with him. That shouldn't be a problem. But I'm not sure now. Because one thing I've never had to do is take much medication. I've never really been operated on that much. And I'm wondering if I really want to enter into old life, if I'm going to be able to accept it in old age, accept that and the physical things that I might struggle with as I enter into that old age. As most of you know, a few weeks ago I missed Sunday morning service and I went to the VA hospital and they gave me some medicine for what was bothering me as supposedly a virus. And I took them pills that they gave me. And I started getting better, but it depressed me. It depressed me. I started thinking about the sun shining outside, and I'm worrying about a snowstorm, which ain't even in the forecast. I mean, I'm depressed, and I'm thinking this medicine's got to be what's doing this to me. You know, it's not a good feeling. Believe me, it's not a good feeling. And while this is going on and I'm trying to get straightened back out, as most of you know, I have a part-time job. I didn't enjoy going into that job. It was like, I'm retired. Why do I have to go to the job? You know, and just things started depressing me and getting me down. As most of you know, about 2 years after I retired, I got the shingles. And when I talked to the doctor about that, he said, worry and stress causes that, Bob. At that point in my life, I didn't have a worry or a stress in the world that I knew of. But evidently, the fact that not going to work every morning must have been putting some stress on me, and I didn't know that. But whatever it was, I didn't realize it. But this time, I did realize that I had worry and stress in my life. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The first thing I started doing when I get up in the morning was reading Psalms. I mean, I read Psalms. And you know what? It made me feel better. When I'd go outside and breathe fresh air, it made me feel better. But I started thinking about, I got to get up every morning and put wood in this fire. I got to fill the humidifier. You start thinking about all these things that depress you and you try to you pray about it. You know, you do everything you can. And it just keeps coming back. And I want us to think about this and help us relate to this. I would say this, and I would say this with great emphasis. I don't think it's something that we want to handle on our own. We have God on our side, and He can help if we let Him. But we have to trust in Him. We have to have faith in Him. We have to know that we have the best person that we could have in our life. We have many faithful people in the Bible that tells us that God is a very present help when we need Him. Tyler just read for you in Psalms, one of the places that I read, that He is a refuge. He is a great strength in times of trouble. But God doesn't want us to fear things of this world. I think that's our human nature. And I think at times we get to struggling with that. And again, I think it was partly the medication that they give me. Again, they always ask you, and I know all of you have been to the doctor, and what's the first thing they ask you? Are you allergic to anything? Is there anything you can't take? Well, I think maybe, Ben's, I'm getting 70. There's some things I can't take. I don't know. But I'm definitely going to tell them that they gave me this medicine, and I didn't really like it. So it made me well, but it did other things that I didn't like. Psalms 34 and 4 says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from my fears. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever put his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. You believe that? Do we believe that? God said that, and I think we can believe it. This is so important for us to believe in God. And when He says here, fear not, that's what He means. We don't have to fear anything if we have Him in our life. Just as little children lose their fears when they're around their father, so we can overcome the fears of this world when we can know our Heavenly Father has promised that He will always be with us. He has His way of strengthening each of us and helping us and upholding us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God does not want us to go through life afraid. God wants us to know that we have the most powerful force in the world, the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be afraid. We have so many scriptures that teach us about this subject. But a lot of what we experience in life depends on our attitude. This verse tells us we should have the attitude of power, love, and self-control. You know, when I talk to people about being stressed a little bit when I was going through it, they would tell me, what do you have to be stressed or worried about? Of all the people that I would say shouldn't be worried or stressed, Bob, it would be you. Didn't help. I needed God to help me. But fear and worry could be a sign, and this is what bothered me. It could be a sign that we don't trust God to take care of us. We need to trust God. If we trust anyone in our life, we need to trust God. And I know there's many people that all of us trust in our life. And I know most of us here, not all of us, trust in God. But put your trust in God. Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. As most of you know, I have did snow removal my whole life, almost from the time it was in 1976. And I never really thought about it, never worried about it. I've never had any problems. My truck's always run, the plow's always worked, the lot's always got clean. But for some reason, like I said, I started worrying about it. So I think, well, maybe God's telling me, Bob, it's time for you to not go out and plow snow anymore. Maybe it ain't as much fun as it used to be. And it definitely isn't as much fun, but it is enjoyable once you get the storm over and you get out there. But I called Bill McNeese, John McNeese's son, and asked him if he wanted to relieve me of my places that I plowed, and he did, and he was perfectly happy to get them because this time of year his business falls off, so he was glad to have it. And I can say this, that I can sit through this weather now and not worry about anything because I don't have to go out in this weather. I still have a truck, I still have a plow, I have two snow blowers, I got a snow shovel, I got sand, salt, I got everything I need. And I don't have to worry about a thing. And I do believe that did help me when I got relieved of that situation. But the thing we have to have is peace in our life. And that's what God wants us to understand. We must have peace in our life. And that is what God has promised us if we will let Him give it to us. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I put my glasses on now. Philippians 4, or 5. Philippians 4, 4 through 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which ruleth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God wants us to have peace in our life. Psalms 34:14 says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." 1 Peter 3:11 says almost the same thing. But the psalmist wrote here, "Seek peace and pursue it." What a thought-provoking phrase here. God encourages us not only look for peace, but there is a tendency in which we're supposed to go after it. Peace might be one of those things which is difficult to define, but we all know what it feels like when we don't have it. We feel uneasy and worked up. We feel confused and disrupted. We feel tension and turmoil. We carry the feeling that something just isn't right. People look for peace in different places, but the scriptures tells us there is only one ultimate source of peace. Romans 5, 1 through 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Paul tells us here that we have peace of God through Jesus Christ. What you and I need to realize here is there's not such a thing as peace without the Prince of Peace. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot experience the peace that God wants to give us. If we don't have peace with God, we will never find a deep and lasting peace in our life. And again, I would say to you that since I have accepted Jesus Christ into my life, there's been very few times I've ever experienced any kind of distress or down feelings or what I just went through. And I have no idea why I did that, but believe me, God and Jesus Christ has did a ton of stuff in my life to make it better and make me go through life on the easy street, what I feel like. But having our lives filled with the love of Jesus is what puts us into position to find peace in all aspects of our lives. Jesus said this himself, as we read in John 14:27, I leave a peace, not as the world leaveth, but as I leave you. It's a different kind of peace. It's a different kind of relaxation that we can enjoy. One of the reasons Jesus came into the world was so that you and I could learn how to experience peace. God does not want us to see any, God doesn't want to see any of his children living in any kind of a turmoil. And I know he was probably trying to help me and I wouldn't let him. So many times we've heard that we go to God in prayer and then we take the problem with us. We don't leave it there, knowing God will take care of it. Jesus gives us that peace that goes far beyond anything we might experience. Jesus brings peace into our hearts, a peace which nothing else can duplicate and nothing else can give. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is telling us here to believe in God, trust God. When our hearts are troubled, it's an indication we're not trusting God with that situation or that area of our life. If we would trust God, whatever it is that is troubling us, we would not be troubled in that area of our life. What we sometimes forget is that fear is the opposite of faith, and fear is an indication of the absence of faith and trust. God wants us to learn to trust him. If there's any concern that you fear, ask God to help you with it. When I started worrying about things the next day or the day after, I remember I talked to Bev one day and discussing things with her, and she's trying to get me under control, and she says, God hasn't even given you tomorrow yet, Bob. We cannot do anything in tomorrow till it gets here. So you don't worry about it till it gets here. And I think that's what we need to realize each morning when we get up. Thank God that you woke up, and ask him to guide us and direct us through that day. And believe me, I do feel a whole lot better about going to work, and I got to thinking about that. You know, them people don't want to see me come in here with a frown on my face. They'd a lot rather see me come in here smiling, and usually I'm kidding and joking around with them a lot, and I think they appreciate that. They seem to anyway. We have a good time and have good relationship with most all of them over there. The question I asked this morning is, how long do we think we will live? We will all die someday, that's for sure. Are we preparing ourselves for that day? Or will we be unprepared for that judgment day when God judges where our destination will be? You know, when you think about it, if you believe with all your heart that that judgment day is coming, and you believe that there's going to be a hell and the people that's not serving God is going to burn the rest of their life, and then there's going to be the other side where all the righteous are going to get to live with God, and Jesus Christ and all the faithful forever. Which side of that do we want to be on? We should be working our heart out every day to make sure that we're ready for that heavenly home and not going down to burn and hell forever. And I think sometimes that kind of gets pushed to the backside of our mind. Well, you know, today I got to do this, I got to do that. Number one is to remember who Jesus Christ is in our life, who God is, and what He's promised to the faithful. He's promised us a home forever. We can believe Him. If you're outside of Jesus this morning and you've never accepted Him, I know from experience that it's a long and hard step to step out of that pew and come and be baptized into Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, be washed, have them washed away in that baptism, be grave. But we offer you that invitation. Each time we assemble here, when we dismiss, we always offer you that opportunity to accept Him. If you've fallen away or erred from the truth and wish to make yourself right, whatever your needs be this morning, we ask you to come as we stand and sing our invitation song.